Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Isaac Watts lived from 1674 to 1748. He is known as one of the greatest hymn writers of all time. He gave us incredible songs like When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. He gave us at the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. And then he gave us his most published hymn of all time, Joy to the World. Now, I don't know how many of you have been Christmas caroling yet this year. We sang that song a little bit last week, but I want to try something, and we'll do it a little bit like this. We have four sections, so here's what we're going to do. Now, the choir's not out yet. They're still back there getting their stuff together, so you're on your own, okay? So here's what's going to happen. I'm going to point to a section, and you sing that part, and when I point to the next section, you pick it up. Now, I have faith in you. I have faith you're awake. I have faith you can do this. We're going to give it a try with Joy to the World. Here we go. You guys over here, you helped me to start with Joy to the World. Oh, that was, guys, I got to tell you. I didn't tell you the key. I didn't tell you. It's my fault. But we're so, Joy. Okay, here we go. Ready to go. Joy to the world. Here we go.
The Lord is come.
Receive her King. Let every okay, watch, we're going to go fast.
And heaven and nature sing.
And heaven and nature sing. And come on, everybody.
And sing.
You did so well. I'm telling you, you guys are good. Choir will start back right after Christmas. We'd love to have you. So if you, most of you, I heard most of you, so I would encourage you to do so. Joy to the World. It is a beautiful, beautiful song, but I can think of one other hymn writer that I think has more fame and notoriety and more songs under his belt that we would know than Isaac Watts. And if I were to ask you to name him, we would all have different ideas, but I will give you a little guess. His first name is David. Anybody think of who I'm talking about? His last name would be of the house of Jesse. We don't know his last name. It's King David. King David has these incredible songs, hundreds of them, that made it to the greatest published book of all time, the Bible. And they're not all in Psalms. There are multiple places in the scripture. In fact, it was King David himself who inspired Isaac Watts with the words that we have when we see the phrase, "And heaven and nature sing." There's two scripture passages that talk about that. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, that's the first place we're going to go. If you'll take your Bible, if you have one, to 1 Chronicles chapter 16. If you don't have one and would like a free copy, in the pew rack in front of you, there are some white Bibles. We would encourage you to take one of those as a gift from us to you. You can have it. We'd love for you to take that with you today. I should have the page number for you, but I don't from that Bible. But it's 1 Chronicles chapter 16, that's the Old Testament. That's the first half of the scripture. So go to the very beginning and work your way forward and you will find that. And then in just a little while, we will look at Psalm 98. Both of these are what sets up this incredible passage that we find Joy to the World from. Now, as you're looking in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, we're going to begin in verse 23 in just a minute. But before we get there, let me set the story for you while you're finding your place. The Philistines had captured the Ark of the Covenant, and David had just won it back. He then delivers it to the tent that is set up in Jerusalem, that is basically serving as the temporary temple until a permanent temple can be built later. As soon as this happens and the Ark is delivered, David then sings or quotes this incredible passage in 1 Chronicles 16, he pens these words. The Holy Spirit gives him these words. 1 Chronicles 16, beginning in verse 23. It says, "Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim his salvation day after day." Now remember, this is the king who's doing this. What a humble thing for a leader to do. He says, "Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim his salvation day after day." Verse 24. "Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples." Verse 25, "For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods." That's little g, false gods. Verse 26, "For all the gods of the nations are idols, But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him, strength and joy in his dwelling place. Verse 28, ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Verse 29, ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Verse 30, tremble before him, all the earth. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. Verse 31, let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Heaven and nature. Verse 32, let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Let the trees of the forest sing. Let them sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. Verse 34, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. This is part of the inspiration for the hymn we all know, Joy to the World. But look at verse 31 one more time. It says, let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad. Let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. In other words, let heaven and nature sing. See, we're singing about the scripture and about the glory and majesty of God. David also pens the same idea in Psalm 98. If you'll now turn to the right in your Bible just a little bit to Psalm 98. While you're turning there, let's look together and see what it says here. Psalm 98, beginning in verse 1. Psalm 98, 1 says this. I'm sorry, I'll give you a second. I still hear pages turning. Psalm 98, 1. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. Verse 2, the Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. Verse 3, he has remembered his love and his faithfulness to Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. So what's happening here? David is telling the history of deliverance from Egypt. He's talking about what happened when the Israelites left Egypt. They crossed the river, they crossed the sea, and they moved into the wilderness and then into the promised land. But he's also telling the history of God's provision in many other battles as well. He says, all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. So what David was doing here, David was declaring that Israel's captivity in Egypt and Israel's difficult battles for the past centuries had put God's glory on display. It says, all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. If you're writing things down, here's what I would say to you today. If you are in a trial or difficulty today, then you have a front row seat to God's glory and God's salvation on display. It's the truth. In the middle of your circumstance, you have a front row seat to what God is doing. Just as God remembered his love and faithfulness to Israel in verse 3, he remembers his love and promises of grace to all believers. That's you. So if you think, I'm in this trouble, I don't know where God is, what do I do? Can I remind you what David says? God remembers you. And God, amen. God remembers you and God remembers his grace toward you. God has not forsaken you and God has not forgot you. God receives glory as you walk through your pain. And God receives glory when he heals you or moves in your circumstance. Psalm 98 declares history. But if we keep going in Psalm 98, we will see it also declares prophecy. Let's look and see. Look at verse 4. It says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and with the sound of singing. Verse 6, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord, the King. Verse 7, let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness, and he will judge the people with equity. Look at what it says. All peoples of the earth shout. It says the oceans sing. The rivers clap their hands. The mountains sing together. Don't you hear the words to joy to the world in the middle of that? Think about that phrase. While fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains repeat the sounding joy. That's what this is, Psalm 98. All of creation sings of who God is. If you've ever been to the ocean, then you know that she does her part to glorify God, right? If you've seen it, there's a beautiful place in Maine at the National Park, Acadia National Park. If you've ever been, we would go periodically there or take visiting mission teams there when we lived there. But there is a beautiful place called Thunder Hole at Acadia National Park. And it's a rock formation right on the edge of the water. And the truth is, most of the time, it's just beautiful. And you see the waves crash in and it fills in the hole and makes a little noise, but no big deal. But if you could ever be there when a storm was coming in off of the ocean, it literally thunders. I mean, roaring thunder. You can hardly stand the volume of it that comes through those rocks and what thunders through there. It as if it screams, there is a God. It as if it screams, there is a God and you're not him. It's as if it screams, there is a God and he loves us. The oceans do their part to glorify God. How about this? Have you ever seen a raging river? Then you know that it does its part to clap its hands, as Psalm 98 says. You can picture the sound in your mind. We had such a drought for such a while here that all of the streams had dried up. But right now, if you were to go to some of those places, you would hear the sound of praise to God, even in those places. If you've seen some very large mountains, now listen, we live on Sand Mountain. And I love where we live and I love where we are. But there are some places in our nation that have some incredibly large mountains. And if you've ever been there, you know just to look at the majesty of them, it points to God and his majesty. But the hard part of Psalm 98 is we have to ask, what about you and me? Do we add our part to the harmony of worship as we are the created things? You see, we were the only part of creation that was given a choice. So consequently, truthfully, we're the only part that often chooses to miss the majesty of God. We choose to miss the praise from time to time. You know what happens for me? I don't know about you, but for me, life gets in the way. We get distracted by things that are happening around us. I think about the last 2 weeks of my life and how many parties we had to attend, how many events to prepare for, how many special things happening in our community that we were a part of, and all the things. I can tell you, in all honesty, I feel like in some ways the past 2 weeks, I've missed it. That I've missed the praise of who God is the whole time doing things that were about him. So for you, it might be things that distract, like office parties, family gatherings, work deadlines, temporary needs, and more. It's funny that the very things that distract us most could be the very platform we need to give God glory. Think about it. That office Christmas party you're having this week, it's a perfect place to speak of Jesus and point people to him. Listen, Christmas is all about him. His name is in the Word. You can say it. So I encourage you, point people to Jesus. That family gathering where you will gather with others this next week, it's a wonderful platform to practice grace with someone who needs it most. How many of you, let's be honest, have someone in your extended family that you'll be with over the next week that really is going to need a little extra grace from you? Raise your hand. Don't point, just raise your hand if they're here, okay? If you do, listen, this is a way for you to practice the glory of God on display. You can live that out by providing some extra grace, by providing what you need to show them the compassion that they may need to see Jesus in you. Your workplace, it's a perfect place to show how a transformed follower of Jesus gives him praise through a job well done. That's what you and I are called to do. The reality is, the scripture would show us that you and I, and Psalm 98 tells us this, we are a thermostat for the glory of God in every situation you find yourself in. We are designed. Now, I don't know, the thermostat's on in here today. Now, some of you may say, oh, Chris, it's so comfortable. The way I know I'm hot is if you're comfortable, I'm hot, is how that works. Now, I'm wearing long sleeves today. Make note, it's 2 weeks in a row. I'm done, okay? So I tried. But the reality is, as we stop and think about the thermostat, we can adjust the two on the back wall a degree. And what's interesting is in this room, it's kind of funny, really, but in this room, there are those, as soon as the service were over, who will say, it was too hot in here. And there are others who will say, thank you so much. I didn't need my blanket today. And then there are others who will say, it's too cold in here. The reality is we're all a little different. But the thermostat, up or down a little, affects us all. Every last one of us, it does. And realize that when we praise God, when we make a choice to praise Him, you are a spiritual thermostat. Psalm 98 says that nature will praise Him. It says the heavens, that's really referring, when the scripture refers to the heavens in that realm, it's the idea of the stars and the hosts and those above us, what we're looking at. It says the heavens will praise Him. It says the earth will praise Him. And it says His people will praise Him. The reality is the earth has no choice. The stars have no choice. They give God glory all the time. You and I, we have a choice. So you and I are the thermostat. We have an opportunity to say, I will praise God and I will change what's happening around me because I'm going to give Him glory. You're in a hostile work environment. Listen, be the best believer you can be in that setting and praise God for who He is, and you'll be a thermostat in that environment. You work in a good environment with people, but if you'll praise God and be the glory there of Him and you'll show His love to others, it will still change the temperature and make things better. Is there not someone you work with who loves Jesus with all their heart and you think that person makes our work environment better? Do you know that person? They exist. They are a thermostat. Here's the problem, though. If we're not careful, we choose to just be a thermometer and just simply reflect whatever's happening around us instead of using our ability to praise God to change it. So when bad things happen, we reflect that. When stress comes, we reflect that. When difficulties come, we reflect that. When joy comes, we reflect that. What I would say to you is this: God's not called us to be thermometers. He's called us to be thermostats. We are called to make a difference. And the most important way we can do it from Psalm 98, I believe, is to declare the glory of God, just like heaven and nature sings. We can do the same. If you ever find yourself, though, not quite feeling it, like I have from time to time, just remember my favorite verse of Joy to the World. It says this: no more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. Jesus comes to make His blessings flow. Far as the curse is found. Far as the curse is found. How far is the curse of man found? The curse of sin? All over planet Earth. Everywhere. I stop and think about what God is doing among some of our missionaries that we support. We'll be having our Advance 2020 conference in just a few weeks. In the far reaches of the earth, we are seeing the curse of God being wiped out by the grace of God. The curse of sin, being wiped out by the grace of God. I'll take you to the Moody's in Uganda. You guys know Josh and Kim Moody. We've been supporting them for about a year and a half now, and they have recently moved with their six children to the middle of the bush in northern Uganda. And it's an incredible place. But this place was devastated by war. It was devastated through Joseph Kony, who came and destroyed and took women and children and turned them into soldiers over the last two decades. But about a decade ago, the war ended. And so now they are ministering in a place right next to what's called Ato Hill. We've talked about it before. It's a beautiful mountain, but it was a scene of horror as it was the headquarters for Joseph Kony in that part of Uganda. And many terrible things happened there. And when Houston Lee and I were there last year, every time we would drive to where their ministry, they have 100 acres right at the base of Ato Hill. And every time we would drive there every day to do some work, you pass this beautiful hill and you look on top of the hill and you can see, it's a distance, it's a mountain, and you can see a footpath to get up to it. And on the top of that hill, you see a military outpost. You can tell that there's probably 6 to 12 soldiers that stay there 24 hours a day because they have taken this back from Joseph Kony and he's in hiding. People don't know if he's dead or alive or what. They still maintain an outpost in his former headquarters. And so there's some heavy artillery there and there's soldiers there. And I can remember as clear as day, and Houston may can remember it as well, driving in the bus one day, and as they pointed that out to us and said, see those soldiers making their way up the hill? We're not able to contact them yet, but our prayer and desire, and this was Myron West, one of the missionaries there who spoke, said our prayer and desire as we were riding in the bus is that God's going to allow us to climb that hill someday and tell those people about Jesus. And many of you know, back a few months ago, Myron contracted malaria and he passed away from the disease and complications from it, and he's no longer able to do that. But Josh and Kim, I don't know if any of you are friends with them on Facebook. You ought to be. If not, he's been posting pictures these past few weeks. The ministry's been on the ground for just a few years. They've never been able to make it to the top of a toe hill. They've never been able to share the gospel with these soldiers who most definitely do not know Jesus. But here now, he's been posting pictures that they go once a week. They climb the journey to the top of the hill, and they open their Bibles, and they have Bible study, and they're discipling these soldiers on the top of a tow hill. It is a beautiful picture to see. You're not even allowed to take pictures of soldiers in uniform in that country, but those men allow them to because they want to hear the gospel. Now, what I would say to you is, he comes to make his blessings known far as the curse is found. The curse of sin, it still exists on a tow hill. But God's doing his work and you're helping to be a part of that. We can move to Atlantic City, New Jersey, where we have our missionaries, Buff and Sissy McNichol. They'll be with us in January soon. And they have a ministry where they are working in the human trafficking part of Atlantic City, the very seedy, difficult part. And Sissy and some of the ladies from the church go and minister there, and they have recently helped be a part of seeing one lady come out of that lifestyle, give her life to the Lord, and make a new start. Listen, far as the curse is found, it's found on a tow hill in far Africa, and the curse of sin is found in gentlemen's clubs in Atlantic City, New Jersey. And then we can move on to Belize, Central America, where we continue to see people come to the Lord through the ministries that we partner with there. We could move to Brazil. We could move to Ghana. We could move on and on into Central Asia, where we're seeing men and women in those closed countries give their lives to Jesus. On and on we could go and talk about. The reality is this. All around us, people are giving their lives to Jesus. And as far as the curse is found, God's still making his blessings known. You know how far you have to go to find it? Just last Friday, you could walk through the door out here, down the hall, take a right, cross the little back door at Baltimore Avenue and head back towards the 100s classrooms of the 50s building into the dental clinic that we provide free dental care on Fridays here in the church. This past Friday, a person gave their life to Jesus before they got their teeth worked on. Listen, he comes to make his blessings know far as the curse of sin is found. God is at work right here in Albertville. God is at work around the world. God is at work in nature. So friends, my simple question as we close is this. Why would we not let him be at work in us? If you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus, let me be clear with you. There is a curse of sin in your life. I want to be as frank as I can. The day you were born, the day you start dying. Sooner or later, there will be a time you will give an account for the way we have disobeyed God. All of us, that's the case. But the beautiful thing is Jesus came to make his blessings known. Jesus came to give us new life. Jesus came and his grace, he provided free salvation by dying for us and coming back to life. So you see, the reason we can celebrate and sing is not because we're all stuck in the curse of sin. It's because Jesus has delivered us. Amen? Amen. If you've been delivered, would you hold your hand up and say amen? Amen. Woo, it's good stuff. All right, so if he's delivered you, the reality is if you're here and you're not so sure about that, friends, today, can I tell you, I don't say this from a point of pride. I say it from total humility in saying, I needed Jesus and he saved me of my sins. And friends, you need him too. If you've never given your life to him today, would you simply say, God, I give you my life. I need you. I want to follow your plan. Would you do that today? For others of us still, as we talk about what the next step for us might be today, what I would say is this. Would you borrow from God's playbook in Psalm 98:3? Remember what he said. Just as God remembered his love and salvation for Israel, you and I can remember his love and salvation for us. That will help us, whatever trial you're in, remember that God has provided loving grace for you. It will change your circumstance to joy. Doesn't necessarily change the circumstance, but it will give you joy. Second, to some of us, I would say this. If you're in a difficulty, if you're having a hard moment, declare your trial to be a front row seat for God's glory on display. Last week, it was a touching moment as we prayed for Bill Hooper. Many of you have expressed that and your love for him as he is in a very difficult stage 4 battle with cancer. And many of you know that he has made a declaration to declare praise to God as he's got this front row seat in the middle of his pain, whether God brings healing here on this earth or ultimately for eternity. My prayer is that we could learn from that, whatever situation you find yourself in, learn. Pray that God will bring deliverance, but learn that we can give him glory in all things. The third thing I would say to us as believers is this, and it's simple. Don't be out-worshipped by creation. The ocean will continue to praise. The rivers will clap their hands. The stars are screaming, there is a God. Everything around us points to him. Friends, don't be out-worshipped by creation. We were the only part of that equation that had a choice, so choose to worship him today. And then lastly, I would say this. Maybe for some of you, God's calling you to join our faith family. Maybe you want to come and unite with this church and be a part of it. And I would encourage you, that gives you a chance to help us repeat the sounding joy all year long. We get to do that together. My prayer is that whatever God is saying to you, that you would respond today. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? This is just for privacy for just a moment. I'm not trying to embarrass you or point you out. This is just so you can have a moment alone with the Lord. If you're here and you realize you need to give your life to Jesus, I want to encourage you right now just to pray. Father, I give you my life. Forgive me of my sin. I want to follow you. Now listen, there's no magic words. God doesn't say, let me watch you for a week and see how you do. No, because he gives you grace when you don't deserve it. He comes and he brings blessing right there to where that curse of sin is found in your life. He will make you new. So would you today give your life to Jesus? I would encourage you, if you pray that prayer, that you might come and tell me in a moment when we sing. I'd love just to pray for you about it. I'm not going to embarrass you or point you out, I promise. But I want to pray for you. Maybe others, though, you realize there's been some bitterness or anger or grudge or something going on, and you want to be able to live the praise of God, the glory of God. You want to offer grace the same way God did, so you'll remember his love and grace. Maybe you just want to come. There's not a lot of room up front near the poinsettias, but right here on the front row, you can kneel or kneel in front of the flowers here. Just take a moment to stop and ask God to help you to show grace to others. Maybe for you, it's that you want to make a renewed commitment to declare the praise of God everywhere you go. No matter what circumstances in your life, you want to praise him for who he is and for what he is doing. My prayer is that you would do so today. Father God, please have your way among us. You are worthy of our praise. So in this time, what we will call the ministry time, may people respond the way you'd have them to. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Here's what we're going to sing. It's not going to be a slow song that we might do sometimes in a situation like this for the invitation and ministry time. We're going to sing Joy to the World. As we've talked about 1 Chronicles 16, as we've declared Psalm 98, here's your time. It's our turn to declare the praises of God. So while we lift our voices in praise and sing Joy to the World, I would invite you, if I can pray for you, you come. If you want to pray on your own, you come. Or if you have a decision to make, you come. Let's stand together and lift our voices.